Heroes Don't Take Water Breaks presents HDTWB Theater, A Stop at Willoughby, written by Rod Serling and adapted for radio by McLean Westbrook and Jake Westbrook. Starring Corey Sarabia, Jed Doan, Laurie Bueller, McLean Westbrook, Miranda Wolfer, and Gage Westbrook.
I want Jake Ross's secretary, please.
Williams, we're still waiting for your Mr. Ross.
I'm trying to get him right now, sir. Where is he? I know he's out to lunch, but we got a conference scheduled here for 2 o'clock. It's now 2:30. Now where is he? All right, check around. Call Sardis East for the cafe and tell him to get himself over here in a hurry.
Well, where is your protege with a $3 million automobile account?
He's due at any moment, Mr. Miserable. Probably a big lunch crowd or something.
Don't be an idiot. More likely a big martini, or 3 or 4 of them. He's too young to put on this account. I told you that. I keep telling you that. We have now been here 34 minutes, Mr. Williams.
This is a communication from Jake Ross.
Would you be so kind as to share its contents with us?
I can give you the sense of it, Mr. Miserable. This is Jake Ross's resignation. He's moving over to another agency.
And?
He's taking the automobile account with him.
That account represented a gross billing in the neighborhood of $3 million a year. And how many times have you promised it to me?
This is as much a shock to me as it is to you, Mr. Miserable.
Don't sit down and don't con me. It was your pet project. Your pet project. Then it was your idea to give it to that little college greenie. Now get with it, Williams. Get with it, boy. So what's left, Williams? Not only has your pet project backfired, but it sprouted rings and left the premises. I tell you what's left to us, in my view, a deep and abiding concern about your judgment in men. This is a push business, William. A push business. But personally, you don't delegate responsibilities to little boys. You should know it better than anyone else. A push business, Williams. It's push right on down the line.
Fat boy, why don't you shut your mouth?
Mr. Williams, messages are on the desk. There's some hot coffee here. Can I bring you some?
No, thanks.
Well, want anything at all?
Yeah, a sharp razor and a chart of the human anatomy showing where all the arteries are.
Presented for your consideration, Gart Williams, age 38. A man protected by a suit of armor, all held together by one bolt. Just a moment ago, someone removed the bolt, and Mr. Williams' protection fell away from him and left him a naked target. He's been candidated this afternoon by all the enemies of his life. His insecurity has shelled him. His sensitivity has straddled him with humiliation. His deep-rooted disquiet about his own worth has zeroed in on him, landed on target, and blown him apart. Mr. Gart Williams, ad agency executive who, in just a moment, is about to board his daily train home. Little does he know, this train is about to make an unscheduled stop in a place known to the locals as the Twilight Zone.
How are you tonight, Mr. Williams?
In the absolute peak.
Cold winter this year seems to get dark earlier than it ever was. Well, that's the way of the world. The rich get richer and the days get shorter. That's right.
Where's my usual seat? Oh.
Willoughby, this stop is Willoughby. Willoughby, this stop is Willoughby.
Huh? What do you mean, Willoughby? Where's Willoughby?
Oh, hey, sorry I woke you up. That's Willoughby right outside.
And hey, the sun. The sun's out. It was dark when I boarded. It looks like summer now.
Well, that's what she is. Mid-July. A real warm one, too.
Mid-July? It's November. What is this anyway? Where is this place? Where's Willoughby?
Well, that's Willoughby right outside.
Willoughby.
Yes, sir.
July.
Yep. July 1888. You seem confused. It really is a lovely little village. You ought to try it sometime. Peaceful. Restful, where a man can slow down to a walk and live his life full measure. Willoughby, this stop is Willoughby. Willoughby, this stop is Willoughby. Saugatuck, next stop, Westport and Saugatuck. Have a good sleep, Mr. Williams?
Yeah, I had a good sleep, but an idiotic dream. Idiotic. Hey, you ever hear of a town called Willoughby?
Willoughby? Willoughby where?
Willoughby, Connecticut. Or maybe New York.
Not on this line. No Willoughby on this line. Westport, Saugatuck. Next stop, Westport, Saugatuck.
To get quietly plastered and then sing old college songs?
It's been one of those days.
I know all about it. Bob Lair's wife called me. She told me he'd been in a meeting with you. You got hysterical or something? She called to find out how you were.
They were all very solicitous, all the boys at the meeting. That free-flowing compassion that is actually relief. I'm the victim, not them. They've mistaken an intake of breath for an outpouring of sympathy.
Would you spare me your little homilies now, please? And just give me a simple and direct and honest answer. Did you wreck a career this afternoon? Did you throw away a job?
It appears not. Miserable phoned before I left the office. He's found it in that gray, oversized heart of his to forgive me. This obese, gracious gentleman will allow me to continue in his employ because he's such a human-type fellow, and for the small, insignificant, additional reason that if I were to go to a competitive agency, I might possibly take a lot of business with me.
Go on.
That's it. That's all of it. Oh, I'm tired, Janie. I'm tired and I'm sick.
Well, then you're on the right ward. We specialize in people that are sick and tired, Gart. I'm sick and I'm tired of a husband who lives in permanent self-pity with a heart-bleeding sensitivity that he unfurls like a flag whenever he decides the competition is a little too rough for him.
Some people aren't built for competition, Janie. Or big, pretentious houses they can't afford, or rich communities they don't feel comfortable in. Or country clubs they wear around their neck like a badge of status.
And you'd prefer?
Any job at all where I could be myself. Where I wouldn't have to climb on a stage and go through a masquerade every morning at 9. And mouth all the dialogue and play the executive and make people believe I'm the bright young man who's on his way to up because I'm not that kind of a person, Janie. That isn't me at all. I'm a not very young, soon to be old, very uncompetitive, rather dull, quite uninspired, average type of guy, with a wife who has an appetite for high status.
And just where would you be if it weren't for my appetite?
I know where I'd like to be.
Where's that?
A place called Willoughby. It's a little town I've manufactured in a dream.
Tell me about your dream, Gart.
It was an odd dream, very odd dream, Willoughby. I could see it out the window of the train. It was summer, very warm. Kids were barefooted, one of them had a fishing pole. It all looked like a Currier Knives painting. A quartet playing songs in the bandstand. A man riding by on one of those funny old bicycles. Down the street was a horse pulling a milk wagon. Women with, you know, the big poofy dresses and little parasols. I've never seen such serenity. It was the way people must have lived hundreds of years ago. Crazy dream.
Yeah, you let me know when you wake up, Hoggart.
No, wait, Janie, please, Janie!
You know what the trouble with you is, Gart? You were just born too late. Because you're a guy that could be satisfied with a summer afternoon or a milk wagon being drawn by the horse. So it's my mistake, pal. My error. My miserable, tragic error to get married to a man whose big dream in life is to be Huckleberry Finn.
Yeah, maybe. Something like that. A place. A time where a man can live his life, full measure. That's what he said. That's what that conductor said. A place where a man can live his life, full measure. Barely made it.
Ah, Mr. Williams. Last week you asked me about a town called Willoughby, right?
Huh? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, I looked it up. Every old train schedule I could find. No such place as far as I could see.
Thanks. It was a dream, is all.
Probably was. Stamford, next stop. Next stop, Stamford. Stamford. Stamford, next stop. Stamford. Next stop, Stamford. Stamford, next stop. Willoughby, this stop is Willoughby. Willoughby, this stop is Willoughby. This is Willoughby, sir.
Willoughby?
Yes, sir. Willoughby. Willoughby, all on for Willoughby. Willoughby, this stop is Willoughby.
Hey, conductor! Conductor! Conduct!
You alright, Mr. Williams? We're at the Stamford stop.
Oh, yeah, Stamford, sure. I'm alright. Willoughby, next time I'm going to get off. I'm going to get off at Willoughby.
What we need here, Williams, is a show with Zaz, an entertainer with moxie. We got to take the audience by the ears and give them a yank. Jar them, rock them, give them the old push, push, push.
I understand, Mr. Miserable.
It's got to be bright, bright with a pattern. It's got to be comedy and everything. Push, push, push. Of course, now it's got to be bright. Push, push, push. That's the kind of show the client will like.
I understand, Mr. Miserable. I understand.
Tomorrow morning, I want at least a preliminary idea for the show. You know what I want? Just a rough format with a few details.
I understand, Mr. Miserable. I'll do the best I can.
Do more than you can. Aspire, dream big, and then get behind it. Push, 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 push!
Yes, sir. Yes? Well, I haven't seen the ratings on the show. No, no, well, that's the time slot the sponsor wanted. Hang on a minute. Yes? That's what? Hold on a second.
Helen! Helen! What film office did the commercials on the Bradbury account? The negatives are all scratched. They're screaming bloody murder.
I'll have to check, sir. Mr. Miserable wants to see you.
I'll have to check it out.
Mr. Miserable, sir.
Push,
I'll tell you when
push,
I know something.
Mr. Williams! Mr. Williams! Mr. Williams! Mr. Williams! Mr. Williams! Mr. Williams! Mr. Miserable!
Push, Williams! Push, push, Williams! Push, push, push!
That's it!
Janie, this is Gart, honey. I'm coming home. Will you stay there? I just want you to stay there. No, honey, listen, please. I've had it, understand? I've had it. I just can't take this another day, not another hour. This is it, right now. I've got to get out of here, Janie. Will you help me, please? Will you please help me? Janie? Hello?
Next stop is Willoughby.
Willoughby?
Yes, sir.
Thanks, I'll get off here.
Hey, Mr. Williams.
Hi, boys. You catch some big ones today, huh? I think tomorrow I'll join you.
Okay, there's plenty of room and lots of...
Hi, Mr. Williams.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Said something to me about Willoughby. Then he ran out to the platform, and that was the last I saw of him. I guess he must have jumped off the train while it was still moving.
All right, thanks for the statement.
What are you doing with the body over there?
They're just gonna take him into town for an autopsy. Funeral parlor there sent the ambulance. Poor fellow.
That's funny.
Pardon?
Oh, I meant the sign on the car. It's just a funny coincidence. Willoughby and Son Funeral Home.
Yeah, well, thanks for your time.
Yeah, good night, officer. All right, folks, back on the train. Back on the train.
Willoughby, maybe it's wishful thinking, nestled in a hidden part of a man's mind. Or maybe it's the last stop in the vast design of things. Or perhaps for a man like Mr. Gart Williams, who climbed in a world that went by too fast, it's a place around the bend where he could jump off. Whatever it is, it comes with sunlight and serenity, and is just off the main road to the Twilight Zone.
You are listening to Heroes Don't Take Water Breaks, HDTWB Theater, a stop at Willoughby, written by Rod Serling and adapted for radio by Jake and McLean Westbrook.
This is Leroy Straddle, field reporter for Heroes Don't Take Water Breaks, on the scene here inside the studio, where I am taking listener call-in questions today. That's right, listeners all over town are calling in with their questions about the show, and I am here to answer them. Yes, sir. We've just been flooded with calls all day. That's... Yes, sir. Okay. Hello, listener. You are now live on the air on Heroes Don't... What? Oh, Dave, the caller apparently is not being heard on the air. No, I can hear him. Just he's on the phone, so the call's just not being passed over to the... Well, I can't answer your question until the... Well, that's not really a question. That's just an insult. Well, no, I don't think that... That's just vulgar. That's just vulgar, sir, and I'll thank you to hang up now. This is Leroy Straddle. Back up to you in the booth.
Hi. Who are you?
My name's, Clyde Aiken.
Okay, what are you doing in the studio?
Oh, that skinny guy hired us to class up your little show here.
Corey?
Yeah, we're a musical group.
We?
Yeah, my partner's over there.
Oh, hey. A silent tape, isn't he?
Yep, Beauregard Beggs is his name, actually.
Of course. What kind of music do you do?
We're a worldwide country music sensation.
Oh, I hate country music.
I promise I will not mention the pickup truck once.
I think you should leave.
Not till you hear us. Beggs?
I'm calling security.
This is Beggs and Aiken singing. Ain't nobody here. Take one.
Give me a little of that snare drum, Beauregard. Yeah, I can feel it in my bones. Uh-huh. One night, Farmer Brown was taking the airs. Locked up the barnyard with the greatest care. Down in the hen house, something stirred. When the shadow who's there, this is what he heard. You can't believe it or not. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So calm yourself and stop that fuss. So there ain't nobody here but us. We chickens trying to sleep, and you bust in and hobble, 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 hobble with your chin. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. You're stomping around and shaking the ground. You're kicking up a powerful dust. That sounds right pretty there, Beauregard. Trying to sleep, and you bust in and hobble, 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 it's a sin. Tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do, we got eggs to lay. We got ground to dig and worms to scratch. And it takes a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch. Oh, there ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. And kind of point that gun the other way and hobble, hobble, hobble off and hit the hay. Tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do, we got eggs to lay. We got ground to dig and worms to scratch. Yeah, and it takes a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch. Oh, there ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. Kinda point that gun the other way and hobble, hobble, hobble off and hit the hay.
Can you leave now?
Yep. We'll be back though with more syncopated country melody for your listening enjoyment.
Yeah, we'll be changing the lock actually.
Yeah, see y'all see y'all later.
My name's Jack Saturday. I work for the San Francisco Police Department.
Well, not since we were suspended after drawing our guns on that old lady in the supermarket.
Shut up, Dan. Dan and I found ourselves with a little extra vacation time recently. so we decided to go down south and take a little rest.
But you said since we couldn't patrol San Francisco, we'd go down to San Diego to bust some perps and hippies.
Shut up, Dan. So we're visiting San Diego for the weekend. But that doesn't mean I'm taking the day off. I'm still on the job. They may have taken my badge, but that doesn't mean I'm not sworn to protect. So if I see some lowlife attempting to violate the righteous word of law, you can bet your cushy 9-to-5 I'm gonna do something about it. That's my job, whether I have jurisdiction or not, you hear me?
Excuse me, sir. Could you monologue a little more quietly? You're disturbing the other patrons of the library.
All right, buddy, I got you now. Put the book down nice and slowly and nobody needs to be shot today. Cuff him, Dan.
But Jack, he's just a librarian. He didn't do anything.
So he didn't. Sorry about the, gun, mister.
Should I still cuff him?
Not necessary, Dan. Let's go.
Please do, and do not come back.
Man, I can't believe we got banned from another library.
Couldn't be helped, Dan. This city is a jungle. San Diego is an all-new kind of animal. You thought San Francisco was a dangerous place? That was nothing. This is big time.
Jack, why do so many cities have sand in their names?
You ask too many questions. Hey, do my eyes deceive me, or is that a drug deal going down in that parking lot over there?
I think your eyes deceive you, Jack. Those look like teenagers chewing gum.
My eyes never deceive me, and frankly, I'm offended you would suggest that. Hey, you punks, come over here!
Us?
Who do you think, you long-haired commie wannabe?
Huh?
Don't you go playing your little stoner mind games on me, you piece of junky trash.
Are you okay, mister?
I'm sick of looking at you. Cuff him, Dan.
They confiscated my handcuffs when we were suspended.
I didn't ask for your... Look, kid, go get a haircut or something and stop reading Marxist pamphlets.
Whatever.
Sad, isn't it, Dan? How the devil's little white powder has poisoned the blood of our youth.
I still think that was just gum, Jack.
You think a lot of things, Dan. Come on, let's go to where the real action is.
Where's that, Jack?
The harbor. No doubt some hippie degenerate is trying to get some jazz cabbage onto shore without the authorities knowing. Well, we are the authorities and we know all about it. Let's go, Dan.
You got it, Jack. Say, Jack, look at that sailboat. Ain't it a beauty?
That beauty is no doubt a vessel for the devil's lettuce. Set the mast on fire, Dan.
You got it, Jack. Lucky I brought my lighter. Boy, this is really getting the job done.
Hey, what are you doing?
Well, ahoy there, sailor. You the owner of this dinghy?
Yes, I am, and that's no dinghy. This is a yacht, and it's bigger than your house.
Well, aren't we in a salty mood today, eh, Popeye? Well, tough luck. We're busting your little operation. You can tell your crew to start unloading the marijuana you got under the deck.
What? Marijuana?
Don't play dumb with me, Sinbad. Come on, come on. All hands on deck. Anchors away, my boys. Anchors away.
You think I'm shipping marijuana on my boat? This is a sailboat. I use it for recreation.
Recreational marijuana, I bet. Should I still set the boat on fire, Jack?
It's lunchtime. Let's go, Dan. I tell you, Dan, this city is crawling with crime. It's disgusting, really. And how did it get like this? I'll tell you how. It's the administration. If I didn't have so many low-life creeps to bust up in San Francisco and... Dan, are you even listening to me?
Yeah, and I want some mustard along with onions and a little relish.
Dan!
Oh, I'm sorry, Jack. Was I ordering over your monologue?
Yes, you were.
Sorry, Jack. Oh, thanks, mister. Here, keep the change.
Are you done now?
Yep. Where are we going now, Jack?
We're staying right here. This has just turned into a stakeout.
Yeah, what are we staking out?
The bank across the street.
Somebody calling a tip?
Of course not. You think a crook is just gonna call out the cops whenever he wants to rob a bank? Of course he's gonna rob it when nobody expects him to, but I do expect him to.
So wouldn't that mean he wouldn't rob the
Dan,
bank?
Dan, look! That old guy going into the bank. He's got a gun strapped to his hip. He's gonna hold up the place. Come on!
All right, I'll be there in a minute.
Hold on, Grandpa. I got you covered. Just slide your gun easy-like over to me.
What? What for?
For attempted bank robbery. I can see the gun on your hip.
But I'm supposed to have this gun. I'm the security guard.
Oh. Well, what kind of security guard just lets people wave a gun in his face like this? You better watch out someday, or it won't be someone like me who's just, testing your reflexes. Yeesh, of all of...
Jack! Jack!
Dan, why didn't you tell me that guy was the security guard?
Never mind that, Jack. You'll never guess what I heard on my pocket-sized police radio just now. There's a couple guys running around town harassing people and pointing guns everywhere. They're real menaces. They were spotted at the docks about a half hour ago.
Say, that sounds like our kind of low-life scum to bust. Come on, Dan, let's go.
Hey, look, all these cop cars pulling up to us.
probably want us to get in with them and go after those creeps. Come on, they've got the back doors open for us. Sure, the days are long, the nights without sleep, but it's all worth it when you see the camaraderie of the men in blue. Despite us not even working in this jurisdiction, our fellow policemen are shouting at us to get in the car so we can assist them. It's touching to see spirit like that. Let's go, Dan.
Yeah, sharp razor and a chart of the human anatomy showing me where all the
trash coin.
They were all very solicitous at the... Oh my god, why am I so bad at this? Okay.
Now you're sarcastic and mean. Again.
Me? I'm never sarcastic and mean.
I know.
Of course not.
That's why I picked you just for this part.
At all.
Why would I be sarcastic and mean?
This
your tip
idea.
Man is just gonna kill us for wasting so much of his time.
That's exactly why
this.
I picked you for this.
Now I'm more, like whiny, like some people aren't built for competition.
You're very whiny.
Okay.
Life is hard.
Life is hard. You're just pitying me.
And mouth all the dialogue and play the executive.
Executive.
Ow. And mouth all the dialogue and play the executive and make people.
Make believe that I'm being made on his way up because I'm not the person, Jamie. Tell me about your dream, Gart.
No, this is like dreamy. Like it was an odd dream.
Can you say that with just a bit more sarcasm? And yes,
sarcasm. Sarcasm.
Whatever that was.
Could you explain sarcasm to me? I'm not sure.
Sarcasm.
Can you spell
is
it?
A hole that opens up in the earth.
A quartet. Okay.
Am I gonna get paid for this?
Absolutely not. I'll tell you after we're done.
Hey, what does it mean if it's unplugged?
don't do that to me. That's it.
Wait, no, that, whoa, what was that?
That's it, epiphany! Corey hates himself today.
So, kid, right? Like, kid yeah. voice?
Yep, like it. Alright, that's not funny, just read the lines.
Hi, Mr. William. Oh, no. No, McClane.
Just do it.
That's okay.
Hiya, Mr. Williams.
He was supposed to chuckle.
It just gets hey.
Chuckle.
Okay, buddy.
Everyone quiet while Corey chuckles.
Now that's not. Is your name Corey? I don't think so.
Oh, does it say Jed chuckles? No, it doesn't.
We're strong for Willoughby.
You've been listening to Heroes Don't Take Water Breaks on KCIW. Heroes is written by McLean and Jake Westbrook, produced by Jake Westbrook and Dane Tittman, and performed by McLean Westbrook, Corey Sarabia, Gage Westbrook, McKenna Davis, Jaden Payne, Miranda Wolfers, Jed Doan, Lori Bueller, Jake Westbrook, and Dane Tittman.
If you're gonna tear down this station, you're gonna have to take me with it! You'll have to untie me from this station before you will...
Sir, can
you... What?
Can you untie yourself from the door? I'm trying to get in.
Excuse me. I'm protecting the station.
I'm actually part of the station. Is it in some sort of immediate danger?
Yeah, well, any minute now, there's gonna be some big corporate bigwigs jealous that we're doing community radio sponsored by volunteers and produced by locals, and they're gonna send a bulldozer out to tear the place down and replace it with some big corporate thing where they wear top hats and chopping cigars and say, we're even the corporate.
I don't think that's gonna happen, sir.
Well, I'm just waiting for the day.
Can you move while you're waiting?
Nope. Okay. Drive myself pretty tight here. Can you give me a cup of coffee from the break room?
Probably not. I think I'll just take the back door.
Okay, see you later. KCIWLP 100.7 FM. You're safe in my hands.
Oh, there's someone tied into the back door too.
To view the credits for this episode, visit kciw.org/credits.
This is KCIWLP out of Brookings, Oregon, broadcasting on 100.7 FM. You are definitely not being hypnotized. Please move along as usual.